special teams for Northern Iowa. They have the top kicker in the nation in Brian Mitchell. He has not missed an extra point in his career, 101 straight. And last year he missed just one field goal. Already they're in Mitchell field goal range now, just inside the 15-yard line. It'll be second down and 8 for the Panthers. Four-man front for Weber State. And this time they split the backs in the backfield. Two receivers near side and one to the far side. Jay Johnson to pass. Short one complete at the 13-yard line. At the 10, to the 5. Touchdown. Mike Schulte, the number two receiver, out of the backfield with 25 catches coming in. And a 15-yard touchdown pass. Jay Johnson to Mike Schulte. And it's something the Wildcat fans are used to. The opposition getting on the board first.
Well, you know, you're absolutely right. They just methodically moved the football down the field. They did nothing fancy. Just brought the running back into the flat. There was just nobody there. He turned up the field. There was Frederick Egg, juked him and got inside of him and basically walked into the end zone.
Brian Mitchell on to attempt the extra point, trying to make it 102 in a row. That's the all-time NCAA Division I AA record. Good snap, good set. The kick is up, and it's perfect. So a quick drive for the Panthers of Northern Iowa. And the Panthers jump on top at home. 12:03 left in the first. Northern Iowa 7, Weber State nothing. Back after a break on the Big 800.
In these days of big banks and big confusion, all you need to remember is this. When you deposit your money in Bank of Utah, it stays in Northern Utah to work for our community. What's more, your account is managed right here at home by local people who are your neighbors. At Bank of Utah, we are committed to giving you the direct, responsive service you deserve. Visit us and discover the difference. Bank of Utah, member FDIC and equal opportunity lender. Bank of Utah, where you're at home with us.
The Home Abstracts and Title Company of Ogden and Latham remind Weber State fans that for all your real estate, title, and escrow services, nobody beats the top service at competitive prices by the title and escrow professionals at Home Abstract and Title Company. Serving Weber, Davis, Box Elder, Morgan, Cash, and Summit counties for 84 years with third-generation title and escrow experts. Home Abstract and Title Company invites you to visit their Ogden and Latham offices. Realtors, lenders, homeowners, catch the action with Wildcat Fever at Home Abstract and Title Company, Ogden and Latham.
The Big 800, home of the Wildcats.
Northern Iowa to kick off. Tracy Tenpenny to kick off. Mitchell does not do the kicking chores. Etheridge and Richards at the 5. It's Gene Etheridge. He's at the 10, the 15, up the middle to the 20. Flips the tackle to the 21-yard line. And the Wildcats will start it out with their first possession trailing 7-0. Checking out the offense for Weber State. The front line will have Bruce Coverton and Miller Itagi on the left side. Russ Henry is the center. Todd Casey and Tom Stackerock on the right side of that line. Alfred Paputa, the nation's leading receiver, is the tight end. Nate Burchette, Rob Treblecock, and Dave Hall, but Treblecock does not start out. It'll be John Fuller at one of the wide receiver spots. And one running back for the Weber State Wildcats. On first down, they mark the ball at the 20-yard line. Jeff Mitchell, the senior, gets the carry. Trying to get outside. He does. He's on the sideline, knocked out of bounds at the 22 or 23. A short gain on first down. It'll be second down and 7 yards to go. Northern Iowa took it right down the throat of Weber State's defense. An 80-yard drive. It took 2 minutes and 53 seconds. And it was a pass for the touchdown. Johnson to Schulte from 15 yards. The point after was good, and that's why it's 7-0. Second down and 7 for the potent offense of Weber State. Two receivers to the near side, one to the far side. Here's a give on the delayed handoff to Mitchell, who doesn't get anything. Might have lost a yard. Now defensively, up front for the second-ranked defense in the nation, Tony Monroe, Rob McComas, and Casey Smith are up front. The linebackers, William Freeney, he has 13 quarterback sacks to lead his team. Peter Burns, Brad Baumler, and Kevin Keith are the other backers. The corners are Jason McCleary and Joseph Wallace, and the safeties, Simon Nelson and Dwayne Peterson. 3rd and 9, a loss of 2 on the play. Jamie for his first pass, pressure put on. He gets it away and overthrows Papunu. Alfred was open in the near flat at the 25, and he looked like he would have had some room to run if he would have caught it, overthrew him. And it is 3 and out for the Weber State Wildcat offense.
Boy, this looked a little tight there in that first series. They opened up with a zone play, and it wasn't very bad at all. It just on this, when they run for the sidelines, everybody's going to be quicker, and their defense is a quickness type thing. I don't think that zone play is going to be real effective for them. Weber State is going to have to go up the middle with it on counters and a lot of traps. Roy Hudson to kick. He averages 35.6 per attempt. And one of the top return men in the nation waiting for it. Big pressure put on. Hudson gets it away and a big kick. Shed back paddling to the 29. Now he's circling toward the near side. Wildcats are chasing. Huge hit put on. Up the sideline goes Shed. He's at the 40, the 50, 45, 40, 35, 30, 25, 20. He's at the 15, the 10, 5, touchdown. But a flag down on the near side. Boy, was there a huge hit, and one of the Wildcats lying down on the ground.
Looks like Derek Gurley, he took as big a hit as I've ever seen on that, and he is, he doesn't know where he's at. He's
boy.
But he hopes he's all right. He's being getting to his feet now, but he took a big-time hit.
And the penalty will go against Northern Iowa. A clip will take away the touchdown, but what a beautiful run and a beautiful special teams play by Northern Iowa. It will come back. Boy, I hope Gurley is all right. He took as big a hit, Dave, as you mentioned, and he's probably thinking that he's Dorothy in the Wizard of Oz, thinking that he's wanting to go home to Kansas. He might think he's in Kansas right now. He was knocked that far. He was up in the air and was slammed down to the turf, but it will go for naught on the penalty against the Panthers, and they will start back at their 23-yard line. So you take the touchdown for Shed, who has great speed running down that sideline, and it will be a first and 10 for the Panthers at the 23.
Well, I tell you what, that the block on Derek Gurley was a very legal block, and that wasn't where the clip was called. It was called somewhere else. But, Weaver State, once again, showing that Achilles heel, that special teams, and they're very, very fortunate to dodge this bullet.
Tank Corner, the lone back, on first down at the 23. Jay Johnson on the counter play right side. It's corner, the ball carrier, 25, and knocked down at the 27 or 28. And a good gainer on first down. 10 minutes and 49 seconds remaining here in the first quarter. Northern Iowa 7, Weber State nothing. And it's been a day of upsets in the Division I AA playoffs. And a game that we're interested in was a game down in Huntington, West Virginia, where Marshall had to get a field goal in overtime to beat Western Illinois 20-17. The winner of this game will play the Thundering Herd. Second down and 5 from the 28-yard line. Johnson again the counter, same play, this time the corner again. He's knocked down with a gain of 1 at the 29. It'll bring up a third down for the first time in this ball game for Northern Iowa.
Boy, and we can't say it enough. There's Ty Pikins again at the bottom of the pile, and I believe he's made every tackle almost to start this game.
He has. He is very, very active. Ty O'Pikins out of Roy, Utah. 9:58 remaining first quarter, 7-0 Northern Iowa. They have the ball at the 29-yard line with a third and a long three. They have got to get to beyond the 33-yard line for a first. They split the backs in the backfield. Two receivers to the left of Jay Johnson and one to the right. He's backpedaling to pass and third down. Swing pass down to the flat to a running back. At the 25, makes the juke move to the 30. First down. That looked to be Mike Schulte again. Schulte finally brought down by Dave Costantino, the sophomore from Livermore, California. But Schulte, who caught the touchdown pass, now catches the pass enough for the first down. And they get it by about a yard and a half.
Just throwing the ball out to the left to him out of the backfield. And he was just one-on-one with Constantino out there, and he only needed to get 3 yards, and he was able to get that. There was just too much area to protect for Constantino that time.
First down at the 35-yard line for the Panthers of Northern Iowa. First-round playoff action from the Uni Dome in Cedar Falls, Iowa. Schulte now in the backfield, split backs. He'll get the carry on another counter play, this time going from the far side toward the near side, but he cuts it back in the middle and finds the going tough. And he's brought down by Jant Offuvai, and again, Ty O'Pikins gets off the pile.
Yeah, and that's where Weber State's going to have to be successful on defense, is on first down, because chances are Northern Iowa is going to try and run the ball, run their counter, their trap like they just did there, and Weber State has got to put them in a situation where it is second and long and not second and short every time.
Second and 7, so a second and long coming up with 9 minutes remaining in the quarter. Panthers 7, Wildcats nothing. The ball is at the 38-yard line. Johnson rolling out to pass. Now pressure put on. O'Pikins has him back at the 25 for a sack. Ty O'Pikins is all over the field. And a big sack back to the 25. That will be a loss of 14 yards for Ty O'Pikins.
Just once again, if they run the little power sweep pass to the strong side. Ty is light. And they just couldn't get him blocked. Nobody can block him. He's all over the field. He's a man possessed.
And he's a guy that they need to keep in there on defense, but they also need him on special teams, so they're going to have to pick the spots to put Tyo Pikins in. Third down and 20. The ball stationed at the 25. One man in the backfield. Johnson back to pass. Here come the Wildcats. A lofting pass down the middle. It is caught at the 50-yard line. A juggling catch by Kenny Shen. He was one-on-one coverage with Brent Lamb. And Shen bobbled it, fell on his knees, and still was able to grab it. And that is a first down at midfield.
Boy, that's a fantastic effort by Shen, because that ball was just thrown up for grabs. Brent Lamb was in great position. He was right there. The ball was could have easily been intercepted. It's just they both went up for the ball together, and Shed just was able to come down with it.
So a big play from Johnson to Shed. Both are juniors, and they have a first down at midfield. 7:52 remaining first quarter. Northern Iowa 7, Weber State nothing. Two wideouts and one man in the backfield. Here's a fake to the back going deep. Johnson throws a wobbly one down the sideline. It is broken up at the last minute. Frederick X got back there at the 10-yard line. It was intended for the speedster Kenny Shedd again. And a big play by the X-man, an exciting secondary man getting back there and knocking it down.
Boy, and he was very fortunate. That ball was a little underthrown and a bit wobbly. And Frederick was able just to turn around at the last second, because Shedd saw the ball underthrown and came back to catch it. Frederick at the last second turned around and was able to get his hand up there. Steve Nowahini put a big hit on Johnson. He's a bit shaken right now.
Second and 10 from midfield. Frederick X also shaken as he hobbles off the field. He's been bothered by an ankle injury. Second down and 10 for the Panthers. Again, a one-back set with two receivers, one to each side. They just line it up with a couple of tight ends in there. And here's a handoff. It will go to Tank Corner. He gets to the 45 and down to the 43 before Reed Leland trips him up. And that'll bring up a third down and about 2 yards to go for the first.
Well, I tell you what, in that situation, they're just running a simple counter gap. And the person making that play is Reed Leland, but he's making it from behind. He is chasing corner after corner. Has already been by him. Leland is recovering from that point and making the tackle 8 yards downfield. He's just not doing it at the line of scrimmage right now.
Third and two from an I formation. Lister is in there with Tank Corner as the running back. Johnson calling the signals. The ball at the 42. Hand off, and he doesn't get there. Chance off Uvai and Tyo Pikins from behind, tripping up Tank Corner, the 5'9", 210-pound junior halfback from Oak Park, Illinois. And that'll bring up a fourth down, and that's a big play for the Weber State defense.
Big play. And I'll tell you what, if this wasn't Joe Paterno-type football, you would see them trying to go for it in this situation, because they are on the 43-yard line, and I could probably see Weber State going for it in this situation, but this is the Midwest, and this is what they do. They punt in this situation, you know, 10 out of 10 times.
Mosley, left-footed kicker. He kills it, and it hits at the 5 and bounces into the end zone. The Wildcats get a break, and they'll have it at the 20. So Mosley kicks it into the end zone. The Wildcats offense will come back out with 6:20 remaining in the first quarter. It's Northern Iowa 7, Weber State nothing. And, Dave, we mentioned some scores to pass along. Everything is final in Division I AA except this one here.
You're right, and the score that could interest most of the Utah people, Nevada hung on to beat McNeese State 22-16 in Reno. And a couple of the scores I'll pass along as we go here.
Trip to the near side for the Wildcat offense, first down at the 20. Here's a fake handoff to Jeff Mitchell. Jamie running out of room. Now he tucks it in, and he's going to be dropped for a loss. Back at the 18-yard line, Jamie Martin found all his receivers covered. It looked like he was trying to roll right. He saw somebody there, and it might have been the big guy, William Freeney, blocking his way, so he cut back toward the middle and was buried for a loss of 3.
Well, he had Stilson open. He was the first receiver in the slot. Had Stilson over the middle open, but Jamie saw him, but he found him late. And then, actually, he had Alpha Kapunu open on the left side, but by that time, Jamie was looking for a place to scramble to.
Second and 13 from the 17. Jamie, quick two-step drop. Here's a pass complete to Hall out at the 23-yard line. They get the yardage they lost, plus a couple of more. It'll bring up a third and 7. 5:30 remaining in the first quarter. 7-0 Northern Iowa. Weber State trying to establish their offense here. Their first possession, they went 3 and had to punt it away. And then they got lucky on a penalty on a kickoff return, which was taken back about 75 yards for a touchdown, but it was called back. Third down and 7 from the 23. Triple receivers to the far side for Jamie Martin. He gets the snap. He's backpedaling, looking over the middle. Complete at the 30. The ball is knocked out of the hands of the receiver, Del Stilson, but it is knocked out of bounds forward, and the Wildcats will retain possession. It will be enough for the first down.
Boy, and they just were, Del was real lucky that time. Just a simple crossing route, and something that he has done very well all year. Nate Brichette is something that's kind of made Nate famous through the season, is that little crossing route. Jamie just hit him in stride, and the defender, I couldn't tell from this angle, he was on the other side, hit Del from behind, and fortunately enough, the ball bounced out of bounds.
Jason McCleary, the guy who hit it from behind and popped the ball loose, but it went out of bounds. He's a freshman from Newton, Iowa. First down for the Cats, their first of the game. It's at the 33. Jeff Mitchell, the ball carrier, trying to get wide on the left side. He turns the corner, 35, puts his shoulder down, hits one of the linebackers, knocks him down, and gets out of bounds at about the 36-yard line. 4:50 remaining first quarter. Northern Iowa leading 7-0. Northern Iowa taking the ball on their first possession and moving the length of the field, 80 yards. And finally, Jay Johnson, the quarterback, connecting with Schulte out of the backfield for a 15-yard touchdown. That's where we stand. Second down and 8 after a gain of 2 by Jeff Mitchell. Here's another handoff. Counterplay up the middle. Mitchell with a little running room to the 40. Takes a pile forward to the 42. And it'll bring up a third and about a yard and a half for the Wildcat first down.
Boy, that's where Weber State is going to be successful right there, is when they run that counter gap. And that time they ran it to the left side, which isn't their best way, because normally they like to run it behind Miller, Taggy, and Bruce Carpenter. But that time they pulled Todd Casey and Tom Sackruck, and it was a good-looking play. Got 7 yards.
Peter Burns, finally, the man to slam Mitchell to the ground. Third down, and we'll call it a yard and a half from the 42-yard line. Here's a handoff. Jeff Mitchell puts his head down. He goes forward, but I don't think he made it. He's going to be about a half yard short. They tried him right up the gut behind Russ Henry and Miller Itagi, but it will be short by a half yard. Here comes the punting team.
That's kind of a strange situation, because what they tried to do is they tried to run a quick trap. It's not real effective when you have that goal line defense in there and everybody's in their gaps. It's difficult to block everybody, and that time they left one guy free. In that situation, you just got to either going to run power football, without your guys are going to straight ahead block, or you're going to do something else by getting outside, but you're not going to try and trap up the middle like that.
Credit Steve Johnson with the tackle. Fourth down, Hudson the kick, Shed waiting. Good kick, end over end, taking Shed back to the 15. He lets it bounce. It bounces at the 20 and coming down and touching it, one of the Wildcats special team members, and the ball will be at the 21. So they did the job keeping it away from Kenny Shed. But the Panthers of Northern Iowa will have possession at the 22-yard line is where they mark it. 3:24 left in the first quarter. It's 7-0 Northern Iowa. And Dave, we did mention the Nevada score, other scores from around the nation.
You're absolutely right. There was 3 Yankee Conference teams got in, and 3 Yankee Conference teams lost today. The first being James Madison over Delaware, 42-35 in overtime. New Hampshire lost also against Samford, 29-13. And Villanova lost Youngstown State 17-16.
Counter play to Tank Corner. He tries the middle, and he scoots away from one would-be tackler and squeegees ahead to about the 24-yard line. And he picks up a couple of yards on the play. So second down and 8 upcoming for the Panthers of Northern Iowa.
And that's another wrinkle that Northern Iowa does offensively. They run split backs, and what they'll do is they like to run sweep out of that, but they like to bring that lead fullback back on a trap back inside. Michael Milby from his end spot saw the trap coming back inside and closed in on it and made a good tackle.
Second and 8 from the 24. Kenny Shett is split to the near side. He's the wideout. And Chris Nuss, the tight end, is actually also a wide receiver in this setup. Johnson rolling the pass, throwing across the middle. Complete to Nuss at the 35 to the 40 and down at the 47-yard line. Finally tripped up by Mark Hood, the sophomore from San Diego. And Costantino also coming over on coverage. But Chris Nuss, a junior from Cedar Falls, he's a hometown boy, the number one receiver during the regular season with 27 catches for 347 yards and a first down at the 47-yard line for the Panthers with 2:32 remaining here in the first quarter. This time they set up in the I formation on the near hash mark, going from right to left on your radio dial here on the Big 800. Now they split the backs, two receivers to the right of Johnson, and here's a handoff. It goes to Charles Lister, trying to get right, then he cuts it back up the middle, gets it across midfield, and he is into Weber State territory at the 47. And Kyle Pikins and Reed Leland there again to make the stop.
Boy, just running that sweep pattern, the sweep play with the offense that's running to the power side to the tight end. Actually, that was a big play in old Weber State days, Mike Price days.
And actually, Freddie Cook, who, by the way, is here in attendance today, was surprised to see him. He ran that play very well. They're just running with, they're pulling a guard, they're pulling the, actually pulling both guards and leading with a fullback and just running a simple sweep.
Second and four from the 47 of Weber State. Five-man front now. Pikin's up on the line. Here's a handoff to Tank Porter. He jukes his way inside, and he picks up the first down, down close to the 41-yard line. And again, O'Pikin making the stop. And the Panthers on the ground are shuttling in three or four different backs at a time, and they are getting some good use out of all of them. That time it was Lister, the junior, who has 427 yards on the season, also number four on the team in catches with 17 out of the backfield. First down at the Weber State 41, 7-0 Northern Iowa. They have the ball and they're driving. This time they have a slot man on the near side, one man in the backfield, and again the handoff. This time Tank Corner on the right side. He barrels his way across the 40 and down to the 36-yard line. A good gain on first down. Reed Leland on the stop. And we're calling the names of a lot of linebackers. That means the running backs are getting past the front line of defense and getting into the backers.
Well, on that last run by Tank Corner, not this last one, the previous run, he came on a power play by himself, and there was Chaka Milby and him, and he just juked Chaka Milby down to the ground, and luckily Chance Offenbach came and made the tackle from behind. But you know, even when they don't block him, they're not making the tackles.
Ball at the 36, second and five, another counter play, and a breaking in his corner. He's at the 30, the 25, the 20, trying to get outside to the 15. Frederick X misses him at the 10, and finally bumped out of bounds inside the 10-yard line. And it was Steve Huff finally stopping Corner from going in the end zone.
Boy, there's that little, that trap, that sweep trap where they bring the fullback back inside. Weber State defense is overplaying that sweep because they've been burned on it already. But that time, everybody just over-pursued, and they ran the trap back up inside, and he made some good runs to get outside, and luckily, Frederick X stayed at home and was able to get him out of bounds at the 8 before he scored.
First and goal from the 8 for the Panthers with 27 seconds left in the first quarter. Set with Charles Lister, two tight ends are in the game, and two receivers, one to each side. Here's a handoff to Lister, trying to get outside to the left. He's got some room, he's at the 5, and he high steps into the end zone. Touchdown.
Boy, you know,
Lister with the score.
Boy, Kurt, you know, that is just absolutely too easy. You know, they ran a simple counter play, and that play is designed to go off tackle. He just runs the outside. Brent Lamb, I'm not sure what he's doing out there. He's standing there playing grabby with a receiver, and he was across the goal line from 8 yards before he even disengaged himself with the receiver. So I'm not really sure what they're doing on defense.
So the Panthers drive it down again. They lead 13-0 with 21 seconds left in the first quarter. Brian Mitchell on to attempt the extra point. And he has not missed in his career. And the kick is up, and it is good. With 21 seconds left in the first, it's Northern Iowa 14, Weber State nothing. Back after a break on the Big 800.
Pace Membership Warehouse is proud to be a major sponsor of Wildcat football and wishes the team the best of luck this season. Stop by Pace on your way to the game, where you'll find a wide variety of chips, crackers, snacks, and drinks, all at low wholesale prices. You'll also find a selection of sporting goods, camping supplies, and outdoor products. Now open our new bakery, meat, produce, and optical departments. And $5 discount tickets are available at the membership desk for all Wildcat home games this year. Shop Pace Membership Warehouse for savings at a better pace.
What's that clue going down? What's that chill rushing through you? What's that ice that takes your breath away? That's the taste of real refreshment. That's the real love dying of. That's the taste of real refreshment.
The Big 800.
Welcome back to the Unidome in Cedar Falls, Iowa. Kurt Wilson and Dave Starman with the Panthers of Northern Iowa lead by 14. Tracy Tenpenny gets his foot into it. Here comes Gene Etheridge up at the 10 to receive. He's at the 15, trying to get outside of the 20. Cuts it up the middle, 25, down the sideline, 30, 35, out of bounds near the 40-yard line. And Gene Etheridge, who we haven't seen on special teams very often, gets in there. Jeff Mitchell not on the kickoff return team, and Gene uses his turf speed to get outside, and a good return. They'll spot him out of bounds at the 38-yard line.
Well, you're exactly right, Kurt, and that's what he does have. Him and Troublecock have turf speed, something that when you get him on the grass or wet surface is kind of nullified, but on this type of a surface, this is his kind, and he just took it up the middle and broke it to the outside, and he had a lot of room to run.
Good field position for the Wildcats. First down at their 38, trailing by 14. Jamie back to pass. Good protection. Now he breaks out, and he's going to have to run it down the sideline. Gets out of bounds at the 40, and he ducks his head underneath the a little jutting out of the stands over there on the Weber State sideline. And a pickup of a couple of yards right to the 40-yard line. And with 8 seconds remaining in the first quarter, one of the Panthers now helped up from the opposite sideline. Now, we've heard all the comparisons about this Northern Iowa team with Boise State, defensively and offensively. Well, if you remember back to the Boise State game, the Broncos led Weber State by 20 in the first half. Weber State came back to win. So we'll see if that same type of scenario can happen here tonight. Second and eight from the 40, trips to the near side. And Jamie, back to pass. He does so. He has it complete to Hall at the 45, and he springs forward close to the first down at the 48. And there is a flag down on the near side. There might have been some movement by the Wildcats. One of the three receivers on the near side, I think, jumped a little bit too soon. William Freeney finally making the stop, but I think they're going to move the Wildcats back.
Yeah, they're going to get Nate Brichette that time. He was the first receiver out, the H-back, and he just looked like this is just a tenth of a second too soon. He sprang forward into the pass play.
So they take away the possible first down for the Wildcats, and instead they have the 5-yard penalty back to the 35. It is the illegal motion penalty. 3 seconds remaining in the first quarter. This should be the last play of a quarter in which the Wildcats would just as soon forget. They trail 14 to nothing, and there is the end of the first period. They let it run out. So we played one quarter at the Uni Dome in Cedar Falls, Iowa. It's cold outside. It's warm in here, and the Panthers lead 14 to nothing. Back after this break on the Big 800.
At Bank of Utah, we have everything you could ask for in a bank, but we're a bank where you're not afraid to ask. Sometimes it seems that banks with pockets deep enough to offer all the services you need are too big for their britches. And unless you're talking big bucks, they're not listening. Bank of Utah's different. We're big enough to give you what you need for your money, but not so big that we forget whose money it is. So talk to Bank of Utah. We're a member FDIC and equal. We listen. Come in and experience the difference.
Canyon Lincoln Mercury Honda is proud to announce the arrival of the new 1992 Sable and Grand Marquis. The professional sales staff invites you to come in and see the new Sable's impressive array of leading-edge technology, such as a standard speed-sensitive steering, driver's side airbag, and available anti-lock brakes. Also, the 1992 Grand Marquis with its plush, smooth, and stable ride both have all-new styling. Canyon Lincoln Mercury Honda, located at 3350 Wall Avenue in Ogden.
Most orders while you wait at East Bench Printing, near the university at 4421 Harrison Boulevard. East Bench offers color printing and state-of-the-art laser typesetting. Open 9 to 6, 10 to 4 Saturdays. East Bench Printing.
This is Lee Crittenden, your paint and wallpaper man. When you start that painting job this season, rent one of our airless sprayers. The results will amaze you. At Crittenden Paint and Glass, we now sell Martin Senor paint. The advice is free. Come in and see us.
Snow tires. Snow tires, snow tires. You'll find the largest selection and best prices at Big O Tires. We have your size and an aggressive tread design guaranteed to keep you on the road and within budget. But if you really want to get ready for winter, we'll put a little more bite into your snow tires with metal studs. Keeping you safe and your car in tune is our main goal. Remember Big O Tires for snow tires, because we've built a reputation you can ride on, backed by service you can count on.
Cool Gold 800, Ogden and KSOS Brigham, Layton and Salt Lake, stay cool.
Wildcats on a second down and 13 play, hitting John Fuller across the middle for a gain up to the 43. It'll be third down and 5 for Weber State's offense, trailing by 14 as we begin the second quarter. Two receivers to Jamie Martin's left, one to the right. Back to pass, quick two-step drop, complete first down at the 50-yard line. Dave Hall. And he is spun down in the Panther territory at the 44. And Jason McCleary, the freshman who stands 6 feet tall, weighs 170, coming up from his corner spot to drag down Dave Hall, who had all sorts of room.
Yeah, it's kind of surprising on a third down and 5 play that the corner, McCleary, would give him that much room. Dave just running a simple hitch pattern about 5 yards down, caught the ball and turned around and still had a good 5 yards more from that point.
A gain of 13 on the play. First down in Panther territory at the 44. four receivers now, two each side, but it's a handoff up the middle. And a gain up close to the 41-yard line. It goes to Dwight Richards, and Casey Smith hit him head-on and barreled him back. So Dwight Richards gets his first carry of the game. He has 435 yards on the season, and he averages 5.7 a carry.
We also went on that tackle was Peter Burns, the inside linebacker, and he's the biggest guy on the defensive unit, standing 6'2 and weighing 239 pounds. Linebacker's not the biggest guy on the defensive unit, but with this defense, he is.
Second and seven from the 41. Hand off Richards. He's outside. He has some good room. He's at the 35. Bounces off a tackler and out of bounds for a first down at the 32.5-yard line. And that really shows that the bench of the Wildcats is very deep at the running back spot. Dwayne Peterson had to run him out of bounds, but Dwight Richards put some punishment on a linebacker before he went out of bounds.
But I'll tell you what else that showed. That shows that they are running plays in coordination with who they have on the field. Now they have Dwight Richards on the field, and he's much quicker, running the sidelines much better. And that time, the zone play off tackle was much more effective. He is much quicker to the sidelines than Jeff is, so that's what they're doing.
First down at the 32 for the Wildcats. 14-0 Northern Iowa second quarter. Counter play on a late give to Richards, and he is stuffed at the line and pushed back for a loss. Boy, this Panther defense really swarming on the ball carrier that time, and Rob McComas, Casey Smith getting in on the tackle there.
Trying to run the trap draw that time, and it just wasn't there.
A couple of the key stats from the first quarter. Northern Iowa rushed it 17 times for 123 yards. Weber State 7 times for only 9 yards, and the passing wasn't even there. 16 yards through the air for the Wildcats, 69 for the Panthers. They dominated the first quarter. Second and 12, they give him a loss of 2. Jamie back to pass, swings it to Alfred Fufunu. He's at the 35 to the 30 and stretches forward to the 29. That's the first catch for the leading receiver in the nation, and Simon Nelson, the strong safety, coming over to get him down. But it takes a lot to get Alfred Fufunu down. Fufunu stands 6'3", weighs 250, out of South High School in Salt Lake City.
Just running the delay, backside. They ran trips formation to the right. Alfred to the left. Try to get the flow to go to the other side of the field and pop the ball back to Alfred. And Northern Iowa did a good job defending him.
Third and 7 from the 29. Crowd of what is expected to be 9,000 standing and making noise. Here comes the rush. Jamie is back near the 40. Simon Nelson, the safety, on a safety blitz, came storming in. Nobody touched him, and Jamie Martin went down, and a ball is back at the 38-yard line. And that will take the Wildcats out of field goal range, and it'll bring up a fourth down.
Well, kind of surprising call there. Northern Iowa thought that they could get to Jamie without blitzing, and that time they brought Simon Nelson, who's a strong safety, on a strong safety blitz up the middle. Nobody there to block him.
Dwayne Peterson is standing back at the 10-yard line. Roy Hudson will punt it and try to pooch it inside the 20-yard line. He's standing at the 45, gets the snap, and he kicks a high one. A spiraling kick. He might have the sideline. It hits at the 10, bounces at the 5, and it's surrounded at the 2 and now the 1-yard line. And good special teams work, and credit Roy Hudson, who has been maligned all year because of some punts that haven't gone his way. This one certainly does. Roy Hudson, the sophomore from El Paso, getting it down, and the ball will be placed at the 1-yard line.
Boy, a host of Wildcat defenders down that time, led by Shane Prosser, who was the guy that actually made the ball on the one.
So now the Panthers are in the shadow of their own end zone. 11:01 left in the first half. Northern Iowa 14, Weber State nothing. Remember last week against Idaho State, the Weber State defense had a couple of safeties.
Wouldn't be surprised to see them go a little play action, maybe throw the ball up right here.
I formation, they keep it on the ground. Tank corner on the left side, and he gets a couple of yards up close to the 3. Now they're going to mark him at the 2, so just a gain of 1, and Larry Anderson making the tackle.
Well, actually, Larry Anderson was a guy that made Tank corner hurdle him in the end zone. Larry submarined inside, and he was actually in the end zone after corner got the handoff. He had to hurdle him in the end zone just to get back across the goal line and actually end up getting a yard out of it, but Larry Anderson did a good job of disrupting that play.
Second and 9 from the 2-yard line. This time a one-back set, and a receiver to eat. Charles Lister is the back, and Jay Johnson calling the signals, looking across at 4 Wildcats, staring him in the eye. Hand off Lister. He just gets out of the end zone, and he is down at the 3. He just barely got out of the grasp of one of the Wildcats in the end zone, And he fell forward to the 3-yard line for a gain of a yard. It'll be 3rd and 8 for the Panthers.
Boy, I wouldn't be surprised to see them keep the ball on the ground here with that Joe Paterno type philosophy we've been talking about. You know, they haven't put it up yet. Usually you want to see him on maybe a 2nd down and 9, that situation. Maybe throw something like that. But I'd be very surprised to see them throw here.
3rd down and 8 from the 3. One of the running backs, Corner, comes up to talk to the quarterback. They've got split backs with Lister and Corner. Shed, watch out for him. He's a speedster. He's on the far side. They are going to throw. Johnson looking. Plenty of time. He lost it on the near side, and it is incomplete. He wasn't close to anybody on the near side, and he threw it out of bounds. Frederick X was on coverage over there with the receiver, and that'll bring up a 4th down. So the defense holds after allowing the Panthers just 2 offensive yards, and now Northern Iowa will have to punt from their own end zone.
Boy, it looks like Frederick X on coverage there is kind of hobbling off the field and might have aggravated that already sprained ankle.
He's probably going to have to go off during every series and get that thing retaped. Tim Mosley, the punter, standing at the back of his own end zone. Catcher gets a good position out of this. Dwight Richards standing at midfield. Mosley has good pressure put on, but he gets it away. A line drive kick hits at the 40, bounces high to the 50. Richards has it. Backtrack to the 50. Now he's still on his feet, and he is brought down right there by the Panthers and making the tackle. Aaron Lancaster coming down on coverage. The Wildcats with good field position.
Yeah, I wouldn't see the Wildcats try and go after one of these punts in this game because the deep snapper for Northern Iowa is kind of is probably as bad a deep snapper as I've ever seen. He's just kind of floating the ball up in the air. And it looked like Bobby Arnett, who came hard, almost got a hand on it. I wouldn't be surprised to see them really try and go after that here as the game progresses.
Okay, now the Wildcat offense in Panther territory at the 48-yard line with 9:21 remaining here in the first half. It's 14-0 Northern Iowa, an important drive. The Wildcats need to show that they can move the ball against the nation's second-ranked defense. Here's a handoff on first down. Jeff Mitchell in there trying to turn left, and he gets to the 45 and down to the 44 before Jason McCleary, the freshman, gets him down. Now is the interest of Dave in looking at the defense for this Panther team. They've got a lot of guys who did not start last year. The front three, first of all, Tony Monroe was a reserve last year, Rod McComas a reserve, and Casey Smith was a reserve. Their front three were all players who were backups last year. Now, of the linebackers, only 2 of them played much at all last year. So it's an all-new defense, but they've really come together. 2nd down and 6. Jamie to pass. He bounces out of the pocket. Rolling right, looking to throw. He throws it complete. Over on the far sideline, it's Treblecock down the sideline to the 30 and out of bounds at the 28. And Treblecock, the speedster who had a good game last week against Idaho State, gives the Wildcats the 1st down, but credit the offensive line for giving Jamie all sorts of time.
Give Jamie a lot of credit that time because he showed a tremendous amount of poise and not committing to the scramble, not committing to the run so soon. He rolled out to the right, bought some more time, and then found Rob standing on the sidelines all alone. Give Jamie a lot of credit that time. Give Rob credit for getting in a place where he could be open.
1st and 10 at the 28. 14-0 Northern Iowa, but the Wildcats are driving. 3 receivers to the left for Jamie and 1 to the right. He gets a snap, quick drop, and he throws it to Stilson out on the near flat. And Stilson gets to the 25 and now down to the 24-yard line, and Simon Nelson on the tackle. So that was the quick one-step drop, maybe a no-step drop.
Yeah,
in
just that uncovered receiver rule they use. If the receiver has nobody on him, Jamie's just going to stand up and pop him the ball. Kind of an interesting thing this series. Shows you the depth that Weber State has a receiver. They actually started this series with Dave Hall and John Fuller on the bench, and with Dell Stilson and Nate Bruchette at the 2 receiver spots. This goes to show you the depth. Obviously, they're all rotating, but they do have a tremendous amount of depth.
2nd and 7. Here comes the blitz. They pass to Papunu, and he dropped it. He was wide open over on the far hash mark, and he dropped it. Jamie picked the blitz up well and saw Elford wide open, and he doesn't do that often.
Well, that time they brought Dwayne Peterson, the weak safety, on a blitz, and Elford running his crossing route probably would have scored. He had Joseph Wallace, who was kind of crossed up and on the coverage, but Alfred probably with a little better pass, the pass was a little behind Alfred down by his hip, probably would have scored.
3rd and 7, the crowd is standing, rooting their defense on. 7:58 left in the first half. The Panthers of Northern Iowa lead 14-0. The ball at the 24-yard line. Jamie calling signals. Now he talks to his receivers. He's audibilizing at the line. 2 receivers each way. Here comes the blitz again. Jamie gets it away. Papunu, a catch on the sideline inside the 10 to the 6. Alfred Papunu Wayne Peterson and just grabbed it over top of his helmet. What a catch by Alfred.
Unbelievable amount of confidence that you could show somebody when you have a tight end flexed out at a wide receiver spot. He is locked up in man-to-man coverage with Peterson, who is a defensive back, and you have him run a fade pattern, and Jamie just threw an absolutely perfect pass, perfect spot. Peterson never saw the ball. Unbelievable, showing Alfred Pupunu's his receiving ability.
And they went right back to him after he dropped the last one. First and goal from the 5-yard line for Weber State. Here's a handoff on a counter to Jeff Mitchell. Puts his head down. He's to the 4 and maybe to the 3. When they unstack him, they will mark him at the 4. So a gain of a yard. Second and goal for Weber State.
Well, I guess because they're on the left hash is the reason they're running that counter to that side, because what they would like to do is run that counter from a 3-receiver spot. So they've got to split the 3 receivers to the right. But I know that they really prefer to run that counter gap to the right side, and that's pulling Milio Taghi and Bruce Covington. So something to look at here.
Hall and Stilson, the receivers, to the far side. Pupunu is the tight end to that side. Jeff Mitchell in the backfield. Fake to Mitchell. Jamie rolling out. Pressure on him. He's looking into the end zone. Lobs it in the back of the end zone. Caught. Touchdown. And a flag comes in late. It's Dell Stilson, the freshman, who makes the catch, and Jamie Martin lofted it into the back of the end zone, and the freshman comes up with it. And from the reaction of the Wildcats, it's going to be a penalty against Weber State.
Unbelievable.
So the touchdown.
Defensive backs everywhere in the end zone trying to get position. You know, I just can't see how you can make that call.
And it was called pass interference in the corner. Might not have even been against Del Stilson. There was another receiver cutting across,
looked
but it
like,
doesn't matter.
Yeah, it looked like Dave Hall was back there also, along with Alfred Pupunu. But, you know, a real unfortunate call.
And
really unfortunate.
Also a loss of down.
Yeah, really, really, really unfortunate.
15 yards and a loss of down. The ball is back at the 19. Third and goal for the 19. You take the touchdown away. Jamie back to pass. He's got time. He throws a fade route. Caught at the 2 and Stilson in the end zone. Touchdown. Dell Stilson on the far sideline caught it at the 2-yard line on that fade pattern that the Wildcats use very often.
Well, what they did there is they ran the outside receivers on quick post patterns. They ran Dell on the wheel, which is into the flats and up the sidelines, and that time just a mismatch all the way, had a linebacker on him, and Jamie just on the same type of pass he threw to Alfred just drilled it in there, and just a spectacular pass and catch. Unbelievable, just like we've seen all year, nothing different in that situation.
And Stilson was slow to get up, but he was helped by the trainers on that side, the Wildcat side, and he is up walking around. Great catch and a great throw by Jamie Martin, and on to attempt the extra point, Patrick Schmidl. The place, the set, the kick, and it is good. 7:02 left in the half. The Cats get on the board. It's Northern Iowa 14, Weber State 7. Back after a break on the Big 800.
The real thing, talking about the real thing. It's a real friend, a Steve forever.
Are you stumped for a great gift idea for Mom or Dad? Well, come see us at Blacker Furniture. Wouldn't Dad look great in a new comfortable recliner? Or how about a wood or upholstered rocker for Mom? We've got great gift ideas for the whole family. Wouldn't a hide-a-bed be handy for guests or visiting relatives? Or how about finishing off that family room for family holiday gatherings? For these ideas and hundreds more, come visit Blacker Furniture for the best variety and prices around. And we wish all of you the warmest of holiday seasons.
The Big 800.
On a third and goal from the 19, Jamie Martin hooks up with the freshman Dell Stilson for the touchdown, and the Wildcats get on the board. That was a 48-yard drive after the defense held the Panthers back at the 1-yard line after a good punt by Roy Hudson. It took 2 minutes and 19 seconds. Schmidl, a high kick taken at the 10 by McCleary at the 20, 25, his feet to the 25, the 30, the 40, the 45, trying to get outside. Schmidl chasing him down at the 40, inside Weber State territory, and a late flag comes in from behind as Patrick Schmidl had to come over and tackle.
I think what we're going to see there is maybe Schmidl with a face mask penalty. It's a 5-yard face mask penalty. But, called Patrick Schmidl's name tackling on a kickoff coverage team. I believe that's the third time in 2 weeks, and that is absolutely ridiculous.
Well, the speed of Jason McCleary that time really showed. He put the burners on, and they've got Shedd and they've got McCleary who can really turn it on that AstroTurf.
I agree with you in some respect on that, but I really think that what showed on that play was not only the speed of McCleary, but the poor kickoff coverage team. I mean, that was absolutely pathetic. He ran right up the middle untouched. It showed you just how bad they are on the kickoff team, and something that they're going to need to shore up. We've been talking about it all year, but they're eventually going to have to do it.
At the 35 for the Panthers. On play action, Johnson to pass. X-Man drops the ball. He just about had an interception at the 10-yard line. He was working down there on Tim Mosley. The pass was well underthrown. Frederick X jumped in the air to intercept it. I don't think he needed to jump, and he dropped it. And that one was a thank you very much interception. That was going to be as easy as the X-Man has seen all year long, but he dropped it.
The one thing that really upsets me more about that is it seemed like every time in my career I threw a pass like that, it got intercepted. Why can't other quarterbacks, when they throw those, have them intercepted?
Well, it didn't happen there. Jay Johnson is lucky. Second and 10 from the Weber State 35. They've got one back, Tank Corner, and they've got a slot man, and Corner gets the carry up the middle, and the defense does a good job of stuffing it, and he gets it down to the 32-yard line, a gain of about 3, and boy, that name we've been talking about all game long, Tyo Pikins, on the stop again.
Boy, I'm not sure. The one thing that really kind of befuddles me about Tyo Pikins is how did he get out of Roy in the first place? It's the kind of guy that should have been in this program for 4 years.
Yeah, he's a junior, stands 6'1", weighs 215. Third and 7 from the 31. 6:16 left in the half. 14-7, Northern Iowa leading Weber State. Johnson to pass. Has the time. Lost it up over the middle, and it is going to be caught. Touchdown, Kenny Shedd. Shedd was working back in coverage with Mark Hood, and Shedd just stole it away from Hood for the score. And that was on a third and long, and the pass was a wobbly one. It wasn't one of those masterpieces at all. And Shedd just stole it away from Mark Hood.
That was the exact same play they ran in the first quarter, where they just ran a simple post pattern. And Johnson just threw the ball for grabs. The ball was wobbly. It was an ugly pass. Just got out jumped. Got out. You know, when it's up for grabs like that, whoever wants the ball more is going to get it. And Shedd wanted the ball more.
So it's 20-7. And Mitchell on to attempt the extra point.
A big 14-point swing here.
Here's Mitchell, ready to try to make it 21-7. Perfect snap and a perfect kick. 6:06 remaining here in the first half of play at the Unidome in Cedar Falls, Iowa. It's Northern Iowa 21, Weber State 7. Back after a break on the Big 800.
Buying diamonds requires trust. John's Jewelry in South Ogden has been offering honest values and great service for 42 years. John's Jewelry in Ogden at 3920 Washington Boulevard.
In the area around Weber State University, no one is faster than East Bench Printing when it comes to copies. Copy in, copy out. Try the fast service at East Bench Printing in the Harrison Depot, south of Hugh Hess.
Canyon Lincoln Mercury Hyundai is proud to announce the arrival of the new 1992 Sable and Grand Marquis. The profession invites you to come in and see the Sable's impressive array of leading-edge technology, such as the standard speed-sensitive steering, driver's side airbag, and available anti-lock brakes. Also, the 1992 Grand Marquis with its plush, smooth, stable ride. Both have brand new 1992 styling. Canyon Lincoln Mercury Hyundai, located at 3350 Wall Avenue in Ogden.
The Big 800.
Big turn of events on the last possession for Northern Iowa. Frederick X drops the interception, and then the Panthers come up with a big play. 31-yard pass to Kenny Shedd. 21-7 Panthers. Here's a kick. It takes a hop at the 10-yard line and takes a big hop into the end zone. It'll be down there, and the Wildcat offense will have it at the 20.
Well, you're absolutely right, Kurt. That ball, without a doubt, should have been intercepted. And then on the third down, 7 play, just a one-on-one coverage, and not there was nothing special about it. The quarterback just threw the ball for grabs. It was wobbly. It was ugly. It's just a matter of Shedd. That's the second time wanting the ball more than the defender. Went up and took it away and ran in the end zone. And he did the exact same thing to Mark Hood in the first quarter.
So now we will see the offense out there again. They came up with a big drive their last time, but it was a short drive. This time they have to go 80 yards for the end zone with 6:06 remaining in the first half, and the Weber State trailing by 14. One man set. Here's a handoff to that one man in the backfield. And up to the 22-yard line is Jeff Mitchell. And out of the 23 where they spot it, it'll be second down and 7 yards to go.
So you get to see the Wildcats put something together, sustain a drive, and take some time off this clock and get the ball in the end zone and maybe get into the locker room at halftime, only down by 7, considering the way the defense has played.
You're absolutely right. This defense did have a good stand down deep in Northern Iowa territory, stopping the Panthers at the 3-yard line. They had to kick, and that set up the offensive drive. But then they gave up the big play to Kenny Shett. Back to pass on 2nd and 7. Martin throws it, and it's complete. 25-30. Nate Burchett, 35, near sideline, out of bounds at the 40. Nate Burchett, the sophomore from Boulder City, Nevada, who came into the ball game with 43 catches for 607 yards, and he is knocked out of bounds by Simon Nelson. And a first down for the offense, and that'll be a 17-yard gain to the 40-yard line.
Just that crossing route that Nate's been running all year and so effectively. Give Simon Nelson some credit, though. Nate was one step away from turning that up the sidelines and scoring with it.
First down, Weber State at the 40. 5:22, the clock has stopped after Burchett went out of bounds. That's left in the first half. 21-7, Northern Iowa. Jamie to pass again. He throws, and it is off the hands of John Fuller, and he is slammed out of bounds, but it was an incomplete pass. He was in stride, and if he would have been able to hold on to that one, it would have been a gain of about 20 yards, but Dwayne Peterson put the hit on him when the ball was still popped up into the air, and John went flying, the ball went flying, and that equals 2nd and 10.
Well, that ball went flying because it ricocheted right off John's face, it looked like, or his hands. Ball that was perfectly thrown and should have been caught.
5:18 remaining here in the first half. Weber State trailing by 2 touchdowns. 3 receivers to the far side. The ball is on the near hash mark from the press box side. Down on the old AstroTurf, it's been down there 13 or 14 years. They'll replace it next year. Martin to pass. He rolls out. He's in trouble. He throws it down the sideline. Treblecock comes back for it, and it's incomplete. It one hop, and Rob just couldn't get back. He did the thing a good receiver should do. He came back for the ball with Jamie in trouble, but it one hopped him, and it'll bring up a 3rd and 10. Joseph Wallace over there on coverage, and the Wildcats have a 3rd and long coming up. Now, earlier in the day, 3 of the playoff games in Division I AA went overtime, including Marshall kicking a field goal to beat Western Illinois 20-17, James Madison upset Delaware 42-35, and Middle Tennessee in overtime beat Sam Houston 20-19, so Sam Houston must have missed an extra point, or Middle Tennessee went for 2 after their touchdown. 3rd and 10 from the 40, a fumble on the snap, and on the ground and recovered by Northern Iowa. The Panthers get the turnover, and they are in Weber State territory with 5:05 remaining here in the half.
Boy, that was just Jamie Martin pulling away from Russ Henry a little too soon. He looked like he pulled away. The snap count might have been a little late, or the snap might have been a little late. Jamie tried to recover by going back. Kind of surprised it wasn't a false start there, because it did appear that there was some movement. Ball just it never got into Jamie's hands and was on the turf and recovered by Northern Iowa.
Kevin Keith, the senior from McAllister, Oklahoma, making the fumble recovery, and the Panthers have it at the Weber State 44, already leading 21-7. Defense needs to toughen up here. Tank Corner on the carry, and he gets to the 35-yard line. The running game has been shut down a little bit here in the last couple of possessions. They did hit the big gainer on the pass play last time. It's a gain of about 3 yards on that one. It'll be 2nd down and 7 coming up. A couple of other scores from Division I AA. Eastern Kentucky had a tough time but beat Appalachian State 14-3. Nevada from the Big Sky beat McNeese State 22-16. 2nd and 7 from the 35. One back set. Tank Corner gets the ball, and he tries the left side. He gets close to the 30-yard line. They need to get to the 29 for the first down. It'll be 3rd and 1.
Boy, that time they ran the counter again to the side of Tyo Pikins, and he was there to make the play, and it's kind of been the whole personality of the defense so far. You see a lot of guys hitting their helmets, hitting their pads. It's kind of like almost. We almost made the tackle. We almost made the play, but it's not getting it done right now.
3rd down and a long yard to go from the 30 with 3:56 remaining in the half. Big play. Corner, the lone setback. Lister in a slot to the near side and 2 receivers. Jay Johnson hands off the corner. He is stopped at the line. It's going to be close depending on the mark, and I don't think they made it. They'll mark it just over the 30. Now, Northern Iowa has the best kicking game in the nation in Brian Mitchell. And it'll be fourth down and about a half yard to go. And they're going to send Mitchell out to attempt a field goal from the 30. It'll be a 47-yard attempt. Credit Larry Anderson with the snuff of that third and short play. Mitchell is 19 out of 24 in the field goal department. They'll set it down at the 37. We'll call it 47 yards. He's 3 out of 6 from this range. So this is his Achilles heel range right here. But the perfect element indoors. Good snap. The kick is up, and it is floating through, just barely. He made it with about a half yard to spare. It just dropped over the crossbar. So with 2:59 remaining here in the first half, Northern Iowa 24, Weber State 7, back after a break on the Big 800.
The newly remodeled Terrace Pharmacy gives you complete and careful preparation in both quality and quantity with your prescriptions. They also have expanded their over-the-counter products and gift items to help you with all your needs. That's the Terrace Pharmacy, located in the St. Benedict's Professional Building. Stop by or call 479-9645. That's Terrace Pharmacy, 479-9645.
Pace Membership Warehouse is proud to be a major sponsor of Wildcat football and wishes the team the best of luck this season. Stop by Pace on your way to the game, where you'll find a wide variety of chips, crackers, snacks, and drinks, all at low wholesale prices. You'll also find a selection of sporting goods, camping supplies, and outdoor products. Now open our new bakery, meat, produce, and optical departments. And $5 discount tickets are available at the membership desk for all Wildcat home games this year. Shop Pace Membership Warehouse for savings at a better pace.
The Big 800.
24-17, Northern Iowa. And Tracy Henpenny puts his foot into it. It hits at the 20. And it is touched by a player at the 15. Picked up by Dwight Richards at the 10, up to the 15. And now to the 18-yard line. And you know, I think that one they probably should have let bounce again to see if it was going to bounce out of bounds. But I think as a special teams player, you're taught if it's still in the field of play, you've got to. And that's what the special teams did. 2:54 left for the offense here in the first half.
Well, that play there was the kind of typifies the whole performance in the first half. That was Shea Liggins actually running the same direction as the Northern Iowa team, chasing the ball was on its way out of bounds easily, and he touched it about the 10-yard line, the 8-yard line. That ball would have easily went out of bounds, and Weber would have headed it to 35, but no, they have it on the 18.
The first down, Jamie hands it off to Gene Etheridge. He gets outside and is spun out of bounds. He was one man away from breaking a big one. He got about 8 or 9 yards on the carry as it is, and they will mark him with 9 yards. Just a ball length short of a first down. 2:48 remaining in the first half, 24-7, Northern Iowa leading. Dwayne Peterson was that man that if Etheridge would have been able to get past, it would have been a bigger gain and maybe all the way for a touchdown. Couple of turnovers, at least one turnover and one would-be turnover, really the story of this first half so far. An interception attempt by Frederick X that he dropped, and then the next play, Northern Iowa came back with a touchdown. And then a fumbled snap from center between Russ Henry and Jamie Martin, leading to a field goal for Northern Iowa. First down, and he puts the ball just ahead of the first down marker, the ball at the 28. Martin to pass. Martin looking. Martin throwing. He's got a man at the 30. 35, Papunu to the 40. Puts his head down to the 45-yard line. And a big gainer for the Wildcats. 2:39 remaining. Jason McCleary finally stopping Alfred. 2:39 left in the half, and the Wildcats will have the clock stopped as they move the chains for the first down.
That's the key right there, Kurt, is giving Jamie enough time to throw. Was something that they were, that Northern Iowa thought if they could disrupt Jamie throwing, that was really the only way to stop him. That time, Jamie had great time to throw. The offensive line did a great job. Alfred's wide open on a crossing route.
Papunu goes out of the game. Now we'll have three speedy receivers to the far side. Fuller to the near side. Jamie Martin to pass again. Protection breaking down. He goes behind the pocket. It'll now rolling to the near side. Still looking, stopping, throwing, coming back, and tipped and incomplete. And a flag comes down. Dwayne Peterson went over the back of John Fuller, and pass interference will be called on Northern Iowa's Dwayne Peterson.
Yeah, that was pass interference all the way. Jamie, that time I thought he scrambled a little too soon. I thought he had a lot of time to throw. He kind of got away from his receivers a bit, but he did a good job of of scrambling to the left. You know, normally right-handed quarterbacks will always scramble to the right side. That time, he started to run right, but he felt like he had more room. He ran left. John Fuller came back, did a good job, got in good position. Jamie threw the ball right where it needed to be, low. And that time, there was only one place for Peterson to go, and that was over John. I mean, that was over John Fuller's back. It was a great call.
So a first down inside Panther territory at the 40-yard line after the pass interference. Martin on a delayed handoff to Etheridge. He stumbles to the 35 and gets close to the 32-yard line. So Gene Etheridge, the turf man, getting some action down there. And the three backs interchangeable for the Wildcats. Jeff Mitchell, Dwight Richards, and Gene Etheridge getting some action here tonight.
Wouldn't be surprised to see Gene Etheridge carry the ball a lot in the second half also. A good surface for him. The quickness is, he really shows on this AstroTurf.
Second and two from the 32. A one-man set in the backfield, and flags come down before the Wildcats can get the playoff. And Jamie Martin is signaling to the sideline like he wants a new play, and it's a penalty against the procedure, and they have already had three of those penalties tonight. A minute 40 remaining in the half.
Kurt, it looked like either Todd Casey or Tom Sackrock, the right side of the line, just when Jamie was calling the preliminary signals, one of them just shifted in their stance a little bit, and he got caught.
Second and seven, the ball now back at the 37 with a minute 30 remaining. Alfred Papunu back in the game. Martin dropping back. Good protection. He's got a man, Papunu, open. He catches it at the 30, is hit, and the ball squirts away, but they call it incomplete. Big hit put on by Joseph Wallace, the sophomore corner from Bloomington, Minnesota. And Alfred has dropped one, and now he gets hit, and one squirts away, so it'll be a third down and seven.
Boy, real fortunate that time that it wasn't a completed pass and a fumble. Actually, the looked like Wallace, who came in on the hit, he was really slow getting up. But anytime you put a helmet on Alfred like that, Alfred jumped right up like it was nothing. But I think Wallace felt the effects of that hit.
24-7, Northern Iowa leading. The Wildcats looking for some points in the last minute 21 here in the first half. Third and seven from the 37. Martin backpedaling. He's throwing deep. He's looking to Treblecock. It's intercepted at the 10 after a bobbled ball. To the 15, to the 20, and to the 25, Jason McCleary with the interception. And that was just a tip ball. It tipped off Treblecock's hands into the hands of Jason McCleary.
Well, you're right, Kurt. It went right through Treblecock's hands. Jamie, Treblecock's in the slot. The middle receiver out of the trips formation to the right, running straight at the seam. Jamie just fired it in there. A little bit behind him, Treblecock did a great job. It was slowing down, and the ball went right through his hand. Accepted. It happens every time.
24-7, Northern Iowa. They have the ball with a minute 10 remaining. And we'll see if they open it up a little bit or if they are content with a 17-point halftime lead. They have the split backs in the backfield and three receivers, two to the far side. Play action. Johnson wants to pass. He does. It's complete over the middle at the 40-yard line. No, now they say incomplete. It was trapped by Mike Schulte. Schulte out of the backfield was cutting across the middle, had to jump for the ball, and they say that he trapped it, so no catch. The clock stops at a minute four. It'll be second and 10 from the 24. Wildcats have not played well in this first half, and I think they are fortunate. We have said this plenty of times at halftime. They're fortunate to be within 17 the way things have gone. Second and 10 from the 24. Kenny Shedd to the far side. The ball is on the near hash mark, and they have the split backs, two backs in the backfield. On second down and 10, a four-man front for Weber State. Jay Johnson calling the signals, jumping, and a flag down. Johnson with a free play. He'll loft it and throw it, and it's incomplete. And another flag comes in the secondary. It was an incomplete pass, and it looked like one of the secondary men, maybe Steve Huff, grabbed a hold of the jersey of the intended receiver, Kenny Shedd. But two flags down. We'll see which way they go with a minute remaining in the half.
They're both going to go against Weber State. The first one is going to be Larry Anderson, who jumped offside. And he was trying to get back, but he just fell down. He was laying in the neutral zone. And the second flag is going to be on Frederick X for holding. It looked like the receiver to this side, from this angle, was difficult to tell who it was. Frederick, he ran a little stop-and-go pattern. As he stopped, Frederick came up, and as he went, Frederick grabbed a hold of him.
So they will take that penalty. The other one, they will say no thank you, and instead they'll take that holding penalty, which will tack 10 yards on. It'll be a first down. 1 minute remaining here in the first half. So they decline the offside, they take the holding, and the Panthers have it first and 10 at the 34-yard line.
Well, you've got to think that Weber State can play some defense in this situation. Obviously, they're going to throw the ball. Not a very conventional type offense, and hopefully they can be pretty successful here.
Johnson backpedaling to throw. He throws it short. It's complete to Lister on the near sideline. He sidestepped one man, gets out of bounds. Only a gain of two, but they stopped the clock with 54 seconds remaining in the half.
Boy, this type of offense goes to show you that you take a quarterback like Jay Johnson, who in my opinion is a very average quarterback, nothing special, nothing. He's no Jamie Martin in any sense of the word, but you take a guy and he's ranked second or fifth in the nation in passing efficiency, and it's brought upon by the system. They don't throw the ball at much. They throw a lot of high completion percentage passes, but he's not in the same class as Jamie Martin.
A gain of two on the play, second and eight. Johnson, back to pass, good protection. He throws it off again. He dumps it to Lister at the 30. He breaks the tackle to the 35, to the 40, and he is undercut out of bounds right at the 40-yard line. And he just got away from one man in the backfield. That was Anderson. And finally, Frederick X had to jump at his knees to get him out. That would have been a loss of about 4 yards. Instead, it turns into a gain of a couple. It'll be third down and five for the Panthers with 45 seconds remaining in the half. Frederick X hobbles off the field again. He is going out after about two plays every time with that bad ankle. Third down and five. Two backs again and corner. Back to pass, Johnson. Another short one. It's complete to Schulte at the 45-50. Stays in bounds into Weber State territory, down to the 47. Clock is at 37. It'll stop with the change to move. And what the Panthers want to do now with their timeouts left, they have three of them. They'll take one now. They just want to get in field goal range with Brian Mitchell, one of the top field goal men in the nation. He is lurking on the sidelines, hoping to get another chance.
And they look like to be about 17 yards away from field goal range. Got to assume that he can. He's got the range from 47 yards, like he kicked the last field goal. But it doesn't appear that he's got a whole lot more after that, because that ball just crawled over the crossbar. So from the 47 here, they're about 17 yards away from where I think they'd feel comfortable trying a field goal.
Weber State has trailed this entire game. This is the largest deficit that they have had to look up at the scoreboard and see. It's 24-7, and Northern Iowa has led all the way. But it was a 14-7 ball game when I think the key play of the first half happened, when Northern Iowa had the ball at about the 40-yard line, and they tried to pass down the sideline that was underthrown, and Frederick X just about came up with an interception. He had it, and then he just flat-out dropped it. And on the next play, Kenny Shedd caught a 31-yard touchdown pass, and that put the Panthers up 21-7. And instead of Weber State in the ball trailing by 7, they trail by 14. First down after the timeout, the ball at the Weber State 47. With 37 seconds remaining in the half. Play action, rolling to the right and throwing to Schulte, complete at the 40. He makes a head fake and gets to the 39, but he stays in bounds. He's at the 39-yard line. The clock continues 24-23, and they don't take a timeout. Panthers have two remaining, Weber State with all three. Clock is at 18. Johnson takes it and slams the ball into the turf to stop the clock. And it'll bring up a third down and three, but the clock is stopped at 15. And hey, you use that play, but I'm not so sure that maybe they wanted to maybe spend one of their timeouts here, because the clock ran about 10 or 12 seconds off while they were getting ready up to the line and then finally spiking it into the turf.
Well, you're right, Kurt. In that situation, they're trying to get it. Normally, Weber State is trying to put the ball in the end zone. From that situation, this team is obviously trying to get into field goal range. You got to use one of those timeouts there.
Here's third and three. Back to pass, Johnson, open in the flat, Schulte, he's got it. And a first down to the 35, and he's out of bounds at the 34. And the clock stopped at 9 seconds. So at the 34-yard line, you're looking at a 51-yard field goal attempt, and they call a timeout. So that's interesting, because I thought he went out of bounds, but I did not see the official actually say he was out. He might have still been in bounds, and they did stop the clock with the timeout, 9 seconds remaining in the half.
Boy, he was definitely out of bounds. It's kind of a strange two plays in a row. They're in bounds with the clock running. They waste about 15 seconds and then spike the ball. Then next play, they throw the ball completed out of bounds, stops the clock, but then they use a timeout. I mean, I don't really understand what their thinking is there, but what it does is it puts them in a situation right now where they only have one play to get into field goal range, because they're looking at about 51 yards on the kick. That's borderline. So it's kind of a strange sequence of events right there.
And they do have one timeout remaining. Wildcat football on the Big 800 has been brought to you by all season long Morris Travel, your local Hardee's restaurant, the Layton Hills Mall, your IGA Super Center of Ogden. Glad to have you along from the Unidome, Kurt Wilson and Dave Steierman, as the Wildcats start playoff action tonight A win and they move on to play Marshall next Saturday in Huntington, West Virginia. A loss and the season is over. First down at the 34 for the Panthers. 9 seconds remaining. They're going to keep it on the ground. Here's Tank Corner up the middle who gets it down to the 31. And the last timeout will be used with 3 seconds left. So they're going to put some confidence in the foot of Brian Mitchell. And it will be about a 48-yard field goal attempt. He has already hit for 47. And again, Brian Mitchell is 4 out of 7 from this range, and it is on the fringe of that range right here. His long this year is 57, and he's hit 79% of his field goal. It'll be 2nd down and 7, but with the timeout, the entire defense for Weber State will go to the sideline. 24-7, Northern Iowa leading Weber State with 3 seconds remaining till halftime. And don't forget, coming up a little bit later on this evening, Weber State Wildcat basketball action from the D Event Center as Don Spainhauer brings you the play-by-play. Weber State against the Citadel in the championship game of the Weber State Military Tournament, and we will probably join that game in progress. It will start in about an hour Mountain Time, and we will be getting some updates from Don Spainhauer. Might even have one at halftime for you from the D Event Center. So keep it tuned all night long. You've got Weber State sports here on the Big 800. So Mitchell is coming out. They're going to place it down at the 38. So 40th attempt. His last one just trickled over the crossbar from 47. And now the officials call time. And maybe Weber State called a timeout to try to ice the senior kicker, Brian Mitchell. And they do. So the Wildcats call time. And they'll give Mitchell time to think about it. This has been a game that Weber State probably is going to look back at and say, if I wouldn't have done this, if we wouldn't have done that. It has not been a great first half. The offense has scored only 7 points, but the defense had a couple of good stands, but a couple of big plays also, and that has been the story most of the year for Weber State. They have relied on the offense to come back, and the offense hasn't been able to do that against this defense of Northern Iowa.
Well, you're right, and this game has been really similar to the Boise State game where Weber State spotted them a big lead. You remember it was 22-6 at halftime of that game after a 22-0 lead. And it was a situation where the defense played pretty good and they had a couple stands, but the offense didn't play very well and enabled them to jump out to a big lead. But one thing that's different between Northern Iowa and Boise State is Northern Iowa was a little bit better on offense than Boise State. So,
and now as Mitchell sets up to kick again, Weber State uses another timeout. And that will leave them with one, so they use back-to-back timeouts to try to ice Brian Mitchell. Why not? You're not going to have your timeouts to use second half. They're going to be swiped away, and you're going to have 3 new ones, so might as well use the timeouts while you've got it with 3 seconds left. After the kick is kicked by Mitchell, the half is going to come to an end, so you might as well use your timeouts, and I wouldn't be surprised to see the Wildcats use another one.
It wouldn't surprise me either. You know, you're exactly right. Why not use them?
Wildcat football on the Big 800 is brought to you by Canyon Lincoln Mercury, Coca-Cola of Ogden, Pace Membership Warehouse, and Cellular One. And thanks to all of our sponsors all season long for sticking with us. And the basketball continues on for the Wildcats again tonight. Weber State against the Citadel. Cats are back on the field. Mitchell back out there. It'll be 48 yards on the attempt with 3 seconds remaining in the half. Mitchell already has connected from 47. They don't call the timeout. Here's the snap. It's a good one. The set, the kick is up, and it is going to be short by about a yard. So his range seems to be about 47. The Wildcats dodge a last-second bullet, and that's the end of the first half. As was the Boise game, we'll see if Dave Arslanian can make the adjustments at halftime. They trail by 17. It's Northern Iowa 24. Weber State 7, back after a break on the Big 800.
Moyes Glass and Building Supply, with over 30 years of professional service, has weather shield and glass of all types, including tub enclosures, shower doors, sliding mirrors, and much more. For free estimates, call 399-5596 or stop by 1590 Wall Avenue. Moyes Glass and Building Supply combines high quality with competitive prices.
The Home Abstract and Title Company of Ogden and Layton remind Weber State fans that for all your real estate, title, and escrow services, nobody beats the top service at competitive prices by the title and escrow professionals at Home Abstract and Title Company. serving Weber, Davis, Box Elder, Morgan, Cash, and Summit counties for 84 years with third-generation title and escrow.
The Nutrition of Ogden, makers of new Natural Harmony cat litter, wants you to know you can buy a high-quality cat food at a great price.
It's Atticat Cat Food, providing a 100% complete and balanced diet for all stages of your cat's life. Ask for it at your local grocery store.
And while you're there, don't forget to pick up a bag of new Natural Harmony Pet Puri cat litter, the pelletized compressed plant fiber that's revolutionizing the world of cat litter.
American Nutrition, for both ends of your cat.
Canyon Lincoln Mercury Honda is proud to announce the arrival of the new 1992 Sable and Grand Marquis. The professional sales staff invites you to come in and see the new Sable's impressive array of leading-edge technology, such as a standard speed-sensitive steering, driver's side airbag, and available anti-lock brakes. Also, the 1992 Grand Marquis, with its plush, smooth, and stable ride, both have all-new styling. Canyon Lincoln Mercury Honda, located at 3350 Wall Avenue in Ogden.
The Big 800.
Third halftime of the Uni Dome in Cedar Falls, Iowa, as the Weber State Wildcats trailed the Panthers of Northern Iowa 24-7, and the Northern Iowa got on the board with their first possession of the ball game, and they ended up going 80 yards. It took them 2 minutes and 53 seconds, and the touchdown was a Jay Johnson to Mike Schulte 15-yard pass. Brian Mitchell added the point, and it was 7-0. The defense for Northern Iowa, ranked second in the nation, got a big stop. Three plays and out for the Weber State offense, and Northern Iowa got the ball back, and then an 8-yard run by Charles Lister gave the Panthers a 14-0 lead. Then Weber State finally got things going. A good defensive stand held the Panthers back at their own 3-yard line after a punt went out of bounds by Roy Hudson at the 1. Weber State got the ball in good position, and finally on a 3rd and goal from the 19 after a pass interference call in the end zone, Jamie Martin hooked up with Dell Stilson for that 19-yard touchdown. The extra point was good to make it 14-7. But the next possession was a big one. They got a good kickoff return, the Panthers did. And then Jay Johnson threw one up down the near sideline. Frederick X went up for the interception, had an easy interception, but he dropped it. And then Northern Iowa came up with a 31-yard touchdown pass to Kenny Shedd. Just two plays later is what it ended up being, and it was 21-7. Then Brian Mitchell hit from 47 yards out to make it 24-7, and then he missed a field goal from 48 yards out as time expired in the first half. So the big play, I think, was the dropped interception by Frederick X, and then the ensuing touchdown pass to Kenny Shedd. Instead of 14-7 and the Wildcats having the ball, it was 21-7, and now they trail 24-7 as we watch the Panther marching band here in the Teflon-roofed mini-dome formation at the 38. Now they split the backs. Schulte and Lister are the running backs. Johnson backpedaling to throw. He has time. He has room. He throws incomplete. A couple of things happen there. First of all, the clock is stopped with the incomplete pass at 6:47 remaining, and the ball turns over. Wildcat offense needs to put together some very quick points here. Trailing by, but a touchdown to get them back to within 10. And you never know with this quick striking offense of Weber State. So Jamie Martin might be working his final quarter of the season if they don't get something going. Jeff Mitchell, the senior, comes in replacing Gene Etheridge, who had gone out originally. Trips to the right. Martin to pass. Good protection. He turns, he throws deep down the sideline. It's up there and incomplete. It was intended down that sideline for Jeff Mitchell. He came out of the backfield and was racing down the far sideline.
Well, that's that cheat play they run where they have the trips receivers to the right, all three to the right side, tight end in his normal spot. Jeff just runs out of the backfield down the sideline next to the tight end. Tight end, what he needs to do is he's running down the hash mark and trying to keep that safety on the hash, and then try and get the ball. Jamie's trying to get the ball down the sideline to Jeff. That time just had good coverage on him.
Second and 10, 6:40 remaining in the game. Fuller and Treblecock are two receivers this side. In motion, Stilson to this near side. One running back, second and 10. Martin, protection breaks down, and he goes down. Jamie goes back at the 29-yard line. It'll be a loss of 10 on the sack. And the clock is running at 6:25. And now the clock is stopped by Weber State. They call a timeout. So Jamie Martin will trot on over to the sideline with 6:22 left in the game. 38-21 Northern Iowa, back after a break.
Cold weather months and early morning problem when you rely on a National Battery in your car or truck. National Battery is a local company with 300 dealers strong, ready to help you. National is a complete line with just the right battery for each vehicle. Rely on National's 27 years. Call the dealer near you. For his name, call in Ogden 621-0010 or visit their plant at 1107 Wall Avenue.
There couldn't be a better time than right now to plan a fun in the sun getaway. And Morris Travel can give you just the right ideas. For as low as $379, you can run away to the fun of Orlando, Florida, home of exciting Walt Disney World. Or spend seven romantic nights in beautiful Waikiki from $559. Or escape to sunny Mexico and the white sands of Cancun for as little as $399. So call Morris Travel today for more details on your getaway. We're Morris Travel, associate of Carlson Travel Network, official travel agent for the Weaver State Wildcats.
The Big 800.
Third and 20 from the 29. Jamie back to pass, throws it long down the near sideline. It is tipped and incomplete, intended for John Fuller down about the 30-yard line. And that'll bring up a fourth and 20, and Hudson is in to punt it away. 6:16 left, and Weber State running out of time, trailing by 17, 38-21. Wayne Peterson is the lone man back to receive this punt by Hudson on fourth and 20 from the 29. Hudson with a short kick, fair catch called for at the 35. Peterson comes up to get it, and the Panthers will have the ball and a chance to run some more time at 6:09 remaining in the ball game. 38-21, the Panthers with the lead. And you can look back on a lot of plays in this game, but the two that come to my mind are plays that weren't made by the secondary trying to intercept passes, and they both turned out to be Panther touchdowns, one in the first half and one in the second half. But you hate to pinpoint a couple of plays in a game that lasts this long, four quarters. Northern Iowa has been the team out there that has done everything right, and they have held on to the ball. They have not coughed it up. And an inside handoff goes for a couple of yards. It'll bring up second down and 8, 6 minutes remain in the game. Don't forget Wildcat basketball action coming up right after the ball game. We'll join the game in progress. Don Steinhauer standing by at the D Event Center. Cats taking on the Citadel tonight. Championship game of the military tournament. Second down and 8 coming up for the Panthers of Northern Iowa. Some of the fans starting to leave the Uni Dome. They think their team is heading for Huntington, West Virginia next Saturday. Take on the Thundering Herd of Marshall, a team which beat Western Illinois 20-17 in overtime today. Pull up the middle, and a big gainer close to a first down to the 45-yard line. Take corner is the ball carrier, the Tankster, a junior from Oak Park, Illinois. Shaka Milby coming over to make the stop. Third down and 1 coming up for the Panthers. 5:09 remaining, and the Panthers are letting most of the play clock go right down, and they can get it under the 5-minute mark before this play is even going to be snapped to Jay Johnson. 4:54 remaining. 17-point Northern Iowa lead. Third down and less than a yard from the 45. They use the one-back set. They use the quarterback. Johnson seeks for the first down. And that will give the Panthers an all-new set of downs. Now one thing that comes to my mind is the seniors on this Weber State team. This could be it for Weber State seniors. And there are seniors on this team that have really produced this year and also through their careers. And I think you can start out on the offensive side. Look at guys like John Fuller and Bruce Coverington and David Hall and Rob Treblecock and Alfred Papunu. They are all seniors. Tom Stackerruck, Russ Henry. There are a lot of holes to be filled on this Weber State team next year. And don't forget the guy who was the all-time leading single-season scorer, Jeff Mitchell. Handoff, corner, turns the corner. He's into Weber State territory to the 45 and down to the 40. And another first down. And the clock is going to tick down to 4 minutes left. Dave Costantino making the stop. 4:06 left as they move the chains, and the clock will start again. 38-21, Northern Iowa with the lead. Defensively, some of the seniors. Justin Jones, Reed Leland,
Bill Reiser, who we haven't seen yet tonight. It has been a season that the Wildcats can look back on and smile because they were expected to finish 7th or 8th in the Big Sky. They made it to the playoffs, one of 16 teams. It's going to come to an end here tonight. Another hand up. Tank corner just up the middle. The clock will continue to run. And Dave, some other players, Rome Essex, who doesn't get his due, the long snapper, and also gets in late in the ball game sometimes. And we could probably mention a couple of more, but Shane Prosser coming in and making the last stop on that play. 3:22 left in this game. And Dave, I don't think you can say that this was a season that the Wildcats will remember as if we would have done this or that, because they did a lot of thises and thats just to get here. Even though it was a disappointing game here against Northern Iowa, they didn't play up to their capabilities. This was a fine season. Handoff. Tank corner again. He'll get to the 31. Clock is at 2:57. It'll bring up a third down and 4.
Well, you're right, Kurt, and you have to. In this situation, you've got to look back and think of all the good things this team has done. You know, they didn't play well tonight, and Northern Iowa played well. They played. They stuck to their game plan. They didn't turn the ball over. They controlled the ball for the most part. They did a pretty good job. This is. I'm
phone. Don't worry, your voicemail will. And this month, just by mentioning this ad, we'll throw in a vehicle power adapter that plugs into your car and allows you to keep your portable battery available for later. This offer only lasts to the end of the month, so don't miss out. Call 580-CELL today to sign up for your complete cellular communications package. That's 580-CELL. Cellular One. Imagine. No limits.
Bank of Utah, we have everything you could ask for in a bank, but we're a bank where you're not afraid to ask. Sometimes it seems that banks with pockets deep enough to offer all the services you need are too big for their britches. And unless you're talking big bucks, they're not listening. Bank of Utah's different. We're big enough to give you what you need for your money, but not so big that we forget whose money it is. So talk to Bank of Utah. We're a member FDIC and equal opportunity lender. We listen. Come in and experience the difference.
Wheelwright Lumber Company has a complete stock of your building needs. Whether it's lumber, hardware, paint supplies, or a number of other items, you can't go wrong at Wheelwright. Open 7:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday and 8 a.m. to noon on Saturday. Wheelwright Lumber Company, located one block east of Monroe Boulevard on the corner of 28th and Quincy. That's Wheelwright Lumber Company.
This is Brent Larson on the local news desk. Some stories we're following at this hour. Salt Lake County commissioners say that they will again open just half of the new jail in order to save money and avoid a tax hike. Officials believe they can relieve overcrowding and save nearly $525,000 by opening only one of the two new buildings at the minimum security Oxbow Jail in South Salt Lake. Kevin Higgins, the administrative assistant to Commission Chairman Jim Bradley, says that this is the county's way of trying to keep reins on the cost of the facility. He said the savings would enable commissioners to avoid raising property taxes to try and balance the budget.